This morning, I am going to talk with you about voices. The voices that we all... Anybody hear voices? The bold ones say, yeah, we do. We do. Now, all of you do, actually, because let me give you an example. Thanksgiving dinner. There was that voice that said, should I take another helping or should I not? Now, which voice did you listen to?
The encouraging one.
The encouraging one that said, eat more. And then later on, what did you say? Why did I listen to that voice? Because you're like, brr. Yes, I think Rolaids makes a lot of money Thanksgiving Day. They do. But there's a lot of voices that are out there in the world today. And we're in an interesting time. Some of the ones that boom, first one I think of that can come to mind is the economy. What's the voice of the economy saying right now to everybody? Just encouraging, exciting news, isn't it? Yeah. What about what's happened this week in India, in Mumbai? The voice of terrorism just popped up again, loud and clear. The voice out there telling us about the wars that are going on. Continue to talk about the environment. Continue to talk about our population. Folks, you can just, you know, I mean, I know the statistics are, in one day we can expose ourselves through the internet, through everything, through TV, to more information than 100 years ago. It took them a year, literally, to actually get exposed to. And you wonder why sometimes you're walking around going, oh, what's happening? Because there is such an information overload. There are so many voices out there. There's also the voice, and some of you may have heard it, I know I have in my life, that says, guess what? You're a loser. Why? Because everyone else is better looking. Yeah, everyone else is better looking. Everyone else is wealthier. Everyone else is more influential and has more friends than you do. Watch TV for a while. If you see the commercials, what they're trying to tell you about who you are. How about the I'll get them before they get me voice, mentality? Now, I won't ask anybody, but has anybody ever watched any reality TV and seen some of what they do? The attitudes they teach about how to relate to others. It's horrible. How about the you deserve more and you deserve it now mentality? That voice that just says, you know what, you're a victim. I don't care who you are, but you are a victim. And you know what you got to do? You got to sue somebody before they sue you. I still, the most classic example to me, you pull into McDonald's and order a hot cup of coffee. It spills on your lap and you get $1 million because McDonald's didn't warn you effectively enough that hot coffee can burn you. I know some of you are going, I didn't know that about hot coffee. The negative voices out there boil down to really two groups. They're sourced in insecurity and fear. They're sourced in insecurity and fear. But thank goodness there's another voice out there. There's another voice out there, and it's the voice of truth.
You bet. Amen.
The voice of truth. And you know where you find its source?
Yes.
Right here. Right here. This is truth.
You bet.
And it speaks to us. It speaks to us, and it tells us truth. And throughout our lives, we need to focus on and make a habit out of listening to the voice of truth.
You bet.
Because it's sourced in love. And perfect love casts out fear. It always has and it always will. I love going to this word. Every morning it has become my lifeline in the morning. Because, you know, I don't know, but I wake up in the morning and if I start thinking about what might happen and what's going on in the day, I need some truth. Because it's easy for the other voices to creep in. And so I got to take some time and get some truth. And I'm praying and encouraging every one of you to do so. Because you need it. You need to stand on it. Let's take a look at some scripture examples and learn from them. Some good, some bad. And I'm going to look at, first of all, the voice of timidity versus the voice of truth. The voice of timidity versus the voice of truth. And if you've got your Bibles, Matthew 14, verses 25 through 33, and I'm reading out of the New King James, it says this, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.'" It's interesting, here's a guy walking on the water. And he says, Peter's so great. You know, Jesus says that. He says, "Lord, if it is you, here's what I want you to do." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now, when I look at this scripture, and we're talking about this voice of timidity, this voice of fear that came in, this voice of the first thing that came, it says, was fear when they saw Jesus.
Sure.
Why? They'd been with him. They'd lived with him. They're his disciples. Why would they, if they see him just in the... why would they be afraid? Because Jesus showed up somewhere where they didn't expect him.
That's good.
Jesus showed up in an area where they didn't expect him to be. And it scared them. They couldn't believe Jesus would be there. That went against all common sense, all reason. Jesus shouldn't be there. And that's the way Jesus works sometimes. He shows up where we don't think he should be. And it scares us a little bit. And we wonder, is that you, Lord? Is it really you? And maybe Jesus is showing up for the first time in your life. In a new and exciting way, or at least a new way, and you're wondering, is this really him? Is this really him? Maybe something you've never done before and it's not making sense to you. Part of your life you haven't expected him to be involved in. Maybe he's talking about a career change. Something going on in your life. Maybe it's a new relationship that he's bringing into your life. Maybe something's going on at work. Maybe something's going on in your family that's new. And you're wondering, man, Lord, is that you? Maybe it's an opportunity to serve others. Maybe it's an opportunity to get involved somewhere in church that you've never been involved in before. And you think, you know what, there's something out there, but I just don't know who is it. Mm-hmm. And you're afraid because you've never been there before. Or maybe you've never experienced Jesus in that way before. Because the voice of timidity, you know what it says? You should be afraid of the new. Mm-hmm. Of change. You know, people say, have you heard? Yeah. People don't like change. Now, I agree with that and I disagree with that. If I'm the one initiating the change, I like it. But otherwise, it's just not the greatest thing in the world at times. And we get afraid of it because it's the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. It'll take us out of what is comfortable and what we're used to doing. It goes against our logical plan for our lives. I think I've told you a little bit before about when we felt it was time for us to move from Pullman, where we'd been for 20-some years, and move to Maui. Take my family. I was married at that time, 3 young children, a wife. I moved to Maui with no job, with nothing other than, yeah, I believe God wants me to come here. I literally, if I knew what I was going to go through when I went there, I don't think I would have done it. But I had this blind sense of optimism. Although I wouldn't call it, I believe God wanted me to go there. And I look back now and I believe and I know He did. But I either think it's one of the greatest steps of faith I've ever taken or one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. God provided, but He took me through some really tough times. And every move since then. And I'm in the midst of a situation at my job, like some of you may be, where it's not 100% certain. Or some of you may actually have these things called retirement accounts. That if you draw the little arrow, you know, that little arrow tracking it, how's it been going lately? Free fall. I know my folks are going through some of that. And it's, what is going on here? But you know what? When you're scared, and when you feel maybe this is something new, I'm stepping out, be encouraged, because listen, here's what happens next. The voice of truth calls out to Peter and to them and says, don't be afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid because it's me. And Peter, at that point, I believe, he begins, like us, to dare to dream that it really is Jesus. And you know what? Peter was bold. I like it. He said, okay, Lord, if it is You, if it is really You, bid me to come. And I don't think Jesus minds if we ask Him. If you're in a situation, say, Lord, is it You? Is it really You? Or was it a little too much turkey? He doesn't mind that. He wants relationship with You. He wants you to be real with Him and ask Him, God, if it is You, please tell me to come. Command me to come. And when it's Him, He will. And He'll use different circumstances, different ways, different methods, and He'll speak. The voice of truth will speak as it did to Peter, and he calls out, come. And at that point, you know what? Peter had a choice. He had a choice. He always had a choice, and you and I always do too. Peterman had been a fisherman his whole life, and he knew what happened when you stepped out of a boat onto water. He had experienced this before. What happens? You get wet. And yet he knew Jesus said, come. He said, come. As he looked at those waves, I'm sure he heard a voice telling him, you're going to get wet. You're going to fail. But he chose not to believe it. I mean, after all, for Jesus to do something, and folks, this is what, for Jesus to do something, well, He's Jesus. But me, I'm just me. How could I ever do something that Jesus did? Because He commands you to. Because He says, come. He said, come. And so Peter listened to that voice, to the voice of the one he had come to know as completely trustworthy and worthy of total obedience. And he obeys. And he steps out. And against all the laws of physics, he begins to walk on water. What a cool experience. He walks on water because he believed the voice of truth. I mean, you've heard of William Carey. William Carey, gentleman in the 19th century, is called the father of the modern missionary movement. You can basically trace back most of what missions is today in our world to from the Western Church to William Carey. He went to India. He believed God had called him to go to India. And he went to his church leadership at the time. And he said, you know what? This is what I believe God's called me to do. And they said, young man, if God wants to save the heathen, He can do it without yours or our help. Brilliant people there, weren't they? Wisdom of the time. But William Carey said, no, I believe it. And he went. Took him, I believe it was 8 years to win one person to Christ. But he set a pattern. And he developed the system that began to birth a movement that it can be traced back to what we know as missions in many ways today, because he listened to the voice of truth. Some other interesting things of people that have listened to something that they believe in, not necessarily always Jesus, but just some good encouragement. Says, the concept is interesting and well-formed, but in order to earn better than a C, the idea must be feasible. That was a Yale University management professor in response to Fred Smith's paper proposing reliable overnight delivery service. Fred Smith went on to found this little company called Federal Express.
Right.
And he got a C on the paper. A cookie store is a bad idea. Besides, the market research reports say America likes crispy cookies, not soft and chewy ones like you make. A response to Debbie Fields' idea of starting Mrs. Fields cookies. So we went to Atari and said, hey, we've got this amazing thing, even built with some of your parts. And what do you think about funding us? Or, hey, we'll give it to you. We just want to do it. Pay our salaries. We'll come work for you. And they said no. So then we went to Hewlett-Packard and said, hey, they said to us, hey, we don't need you. You haven't even got through college yet. There's a young man named Steve Jobs on attempts to get Atari and HP interested in his and Steve Wozniak's personal computer. And if anybody owns one of these, you know what became of that idea. And he chose not to listen to these voices that were saying, you can't do it, it's impossible. So too with us. If we're willing to dream and believe the voice of truth, He will say to us, come, step out of the boat and walk out on the water to me. Step out of the boat. It's interesting, I was looking at your missions board and back and saw pictures. Pastor Sergei and Natasha and their family. They're pastors of Mission Living Faith in Moscow, Russia. And that was kind of a stepping out of the boat experience for me. Because I knew them when they were just these young kids stepping into this building that was offering free English classes in Moscow, Russia. And they were willing to step out. We were willing to go. We were willing to share truth. And they were willing to believe it and then step out of the boat themselves and become pastors. I look at Nate and Rebecca Mildren, who are in Tel Aviv. And I know Pastor Kev can remember Nate when he was a baby. Oh, I mean, unbelievably so. But a willingness to believe the voice of truth. It's not always easy. And that voice of timidity or that voice of fear will come, but you've got to choose what voice you're going to listen to. Some of you, I believe, God's speaking to you to do something you've never done before. To get involved in some way you've never been involved before. I don't know what it is, but I know God's always speaking to us if we're willing to listen. Be willing to step out of the boat.
That's good.
However, once you've stepped out, Peter's problem didn't stop there. Because he, like us, at times began to look at the circumstances surrounding him. There's another voice we listen to, the voice of circumstances. And he began to doubt. He began to doubt. He saw these waves. He saw they were stormy. He saw Jesus. I don't know how far away Jesus was, but it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know. What am I doing? What's really happening? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And you know what happened then? And this is, I would love to see it. And I don't know, but I really hope that God has a huge DVR and that He records everything and we can play it back. I would love to see this take place on a big screen. To watch what Peter... Was it a slow sink? You know, all of a sudden, he's like, I'm looking and I'm starting to go down. Because he obviously had enough presence of mind in the midst of difficult circumstances, he knew still who to call out to. What did he say? Lord, save me! And I always encourage everybody to do this. Because it's fun. When you get to a pool sometime, that's why I'm saying, how did it go? Because actually step off a pool, the side of a pool, into the deep end and try and get out, Lord, save me. Before you're underwater. It's very difficult. So it must have been a slow sink. Lord, save! And He did. Jesus is always there in the midst of what you're going through. in the midst of whatever circumstance in life. And I think you guys are facing some of this as you're sharing about this whole Greenbelt thing. You know what? Lord, You've called us. You've blessed us. We believe You. We're going to keep going. Lord, save us. Save us. He wants to be involved in our lives every step of the way. In our lives, as we begin to walk on water, as we begin to obey that voice of truth, keep our eyes on Jesus, not on circumstances, and not to that voice of fear. And then the next voice, the voice of intimidation versus the voice of truth. And the story we're drawing from in this one is in 1 Samuel 17, where we read the story of David and Goliath. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with that story. But as a recap, we see Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, had been taunting Israel for 40 days. Show up and he'd just bellow at them. And you know what? He had them completely intimidated, completely fearful. They had listened to his voice and they were totally paralyzed. Completely paralyzed because they'd listened to this giant's voice for day in, day out, constantly telling them what he's going to do to them and that they're basically a bunch of wimps and can't do it. They can't beat him. And they believed it. Then we read about this youth, kid named David. And he was bringing food to his brothers. That's what I love about it. He's just bringing food. He was being obedient to his dad who had given him a job to do. And he shows up, he hears about it, and don't you love it? He doesn't get afraid, he gets mad.
Right.
He gets indignant at this guy. Because we see, as we read this account, David had been listening to a different voice. He'd been listening to the voice of truth. David knew, number one, there was a cause worth fighting for. Goliath was defying the armies of the living God. He was defying God, and David wasn't going to stand for that. And I believe there is a realm in our lives, and I believe it takes place most powerfully on our knees, that we need to get indignant about the defying of God that is going on in this world. We need to love people, but we need to get indignant against the enemy and the work of the enemy and against sin and against ungodliness and against that spiritual world that in the heavenly places that is defying God. Because God, God, I think, is sometimes just looking for someone who's willing to stand up and say, stop! You're defying God. And He's going to be there to back it. And I appreciate the people in many different realms in our nation that are standing up and saying, no, you may not defy God. We will love you, but we're not going to accept the defying of God and His ways. And I believe, as I said, that most importantly takes place on our knees, but then it does come into the natural realm, as we see here. The giants that are trying to defeat us. David had seen God be faithful to protect him from the lion and the bear. He'd been with him. When a lion had attacked the flock, a bear had attacked the flock, David had killed them. Another great story. Another one I'd love to see. And David came to fight not with faith in his instruments of war, but in the name of the Lord of hosts. And what a great lesson we can learn there. I believe in a strong military. But folks, it's not our instruments that save us.
That's right.
It's not our weapons of war that save us. It is God.
That's right.
It is God whom Goliath was defying. David refused to believe anything the giant had to say. You almost picture him, you know. I know you have the conversation. You almost picture him just going, na 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 na, not going to listen to you. Because he knew. He knew. He was listening to the voice of truth, and he was confident in that voice because he'd learned to hear that voice in his time as a shepherd. He took time. And you can see, and you see the Psalms, you know, he's sitting in the fields singing to him, worshiping him, and listening to his voice. And that's what we need to do, is we need to get away and make time to listen. To make time to love him, to worship him, to adore him, and then to listen to his voice. You can't just go, 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 go and expect to be able to hear. You've got to make time. All of us do. Now, we all have giants in our lives that intimidate us and tell us that if we try and fight them, we're going to die. Some possible examples. Sharing your faith with others. That's a giant for a lot of people. I know where I'm working, it's not easy to bring up this topic because people are so concentrated on other things. But to actually bring this up, I'm finding opportunity, and God will give opportunity as we listen. Talking with someone about a problem or a perceived problem in your relationship, and we mentioned family. A lot of us just hung out with them on Thursday. And for a lot of us, it doesn't always go beautifully. Because there are problems in relationship. And because they've been there for so long, and, oh, Pastor David, you just knew him. You would know it's impossible. They are impossible. And I could spend 5 to 6 hours telling you how impossible they are. And if they would only change. Oh. Giant. But listen to that voice that talks about, you know, sometimes humbling ourselves, seeking restoration, and loving others the way Jesus loved us. It's a challenge. But if we only love those who love us, we really aren't loving. And so I encourage you, if that giant is there, listen to the voice of truth. Maybe it's overcoming an addiction or a problem you're facing. And I know, because I know Pastor Kev, that this community here is a safe place. And if you have problems that you're facing, you can come and get help. And you're going to be loved and encouraged and helped by putting your hands into the hands of the voice of truth to help you overcome whatever problem, whatever things going on in your life that you need help with. And all of us face them. It doesn't ever end. Sometimes they just change.
Yeah.
But we all have areas where we need help and to grow. Maybe it's a challenge at work that seems insurmountable. And I'm facing some of those. There's things that are going on that I don't have all the answers to. Huh. Gee, maybe Jesus wants me to really trust him. Wow! Look at that. That just came to me. Wow, I'm glad I came to church. Yeah,
good,
yeah, that's right. That's right. I got to listen to this message. Yeah. What was the result of David listening to the voice of truth? Goliath lost his head. Because he was willing to listen. Are we? Again, I think of this whole thing, and I just, even as you were sharing it, this whole thing with the green belt and the easement, that's a giant. The $60,000 giant you're looking at. But you've got a God who's defeated a lot bigger ones than that.
That's right.
I encourage you, stand on that voice of truth. You know what? Maybe it's your relationship with Jesus, and you're talking about it, and you hear people share about it, and you know, you're going, oh yeah, but inside you're going, I don't know. It's just really hard for me. I understand that. I understand that. But there are so many different ways that that relationship can grow and develop. What works for me may not work for you, and what works for you may not work for me. But be willing to keep growing. Keep trying. Talk to people who know how to help you grow that relationship. God wants it. I can guarantee that 100%. The voice of truth says, I want a relationship with you that's deeper than the one you have right now. And He's willing to do whatever. He's done whatever He needs to do to make it happen. Now it's up to us to cooperate. Maybe you've tried before on a lot of these things and you failed. Anybody ever failed at, do you feel like you failed at trying to reach out and share Jesus with people? Yeah. Don't stop. You know, inviting someone to church. Maybe you've invited them and they've said no. It's just probably not that time. I just had a 30-year reunion. High school reunion. I know, it's hard to believe. I possibly could be that old, but I am. And I was so hoping there was this young one lady who, when I was absolutely a non-believer, actually I was pretty much the guy that would argue with Christians because I just liked to. I remember arguing with her about God and there's no God, and she just stood firm. And I was just, you know, being my brilliant self, I was just cutting down everything she had to say. And all of a sudden she started to cry. I mean, and it just, all of a sudden I went, wow. But she wouldn't back down. Even in the midst of tears and even in the midst of not being able to answer all my questions, she said, no, I know there is a God. And I love Him and I believe in Him. And that touched something in my heart. Still has to this day. I was so wishing she was going to be there and I was going to be able to walk up and say thanks. I have a feeling, though, if I had told her that I'm a pastor, she probably would have gone to Jesus right then. I know some of them, that was actually really a fun thing to be there. Because the people that knew me in high school, knowing that I'd become a pastor, it was just kind of just that weird look. I'd heard that. Wow. And yet, what a great opportunity. And I loved it. I had opportunity, honestly, to pray with people at my high school reunion. I was praying for them. They were sharing with me about their life problems. And I was able to help them and pray with them. What an incredible opportunity. But don't stop. Just because you failed before, so what? So what? I have to wonder, I just thought of it. You wonder if Peter ever tried to walk on water again. You ever think of that? Me too. Okay, over here, watch this. Darn, I did it. You guys saw me, right? Gotta keep trying, that's right. But I remember that when we lived in Russia, talking to people about the Lord when we first moved there. Blank stares. Nothing. No response. I so wanted to quit so many times. I remember I cried more in Russia due to just loneliness than I have ever before, and I think ever since. Because of where we came out of, such a community, such a family. And here we were in the midst of people that didn't like us. And I couldn't speak their language. And they really didn't want to hear what I had to say to begin with. And I'm a fairly relational guy and I like people to like me. And they didn't. And it was hard. It was hard. But I knew I had friends praying for me and supporting and loving. So we kept going. And then God kicked in and began to break down those giants. And miracles began to happen. For me, praying for people to be healed. I want to see healing.
You bet.
I want to see God heal more. I really, really do. It frustrates me to no end. And I remember praying. And I remember praying at church, at a service. I remember one time at one of our services in Moscow, I felt that God gave me a word to pray for sicknesses. So I just said, okay, great. And, you know, these people probably have never done this. And I prayed. After service, this young man came up. And he was just like, oh my gosh, when you prayed for me, my back had been hurting for such a long time. And I just felt there's something going on. And my back is healed. And I'm like, yeah, oh, that's so awesome. Young man's name was Vitaly Mazin. And he's now one of the leaders of the church in Moscow. Because I was just willing to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And I got people at work. I got so many sick people at my work. Their backs, all these things. And so when I have opportunity, I'm still doing this. I'm taking time and saying, can I pray for you? Believe in a God who heals and who loves to heal. And if I'd love to pray for him, and I haven't had anybody say, oh my gosh, you horrible, wicked person, never. And we have, that's what we think people are going to do. Oh, they're going to think I'm such a fool. No. Seriously, last time I prayed for someone who'd fallen and hurting themselves, hurting, another good word, hurt themselves, she almost began to tear up. Simply because someone was willing to say, can I pray for you? And I'm waiting for that day when, boom, it happens. And she come back, I was healed. I was healed. It was incredible. And I'm actually, I digress just a bit, but please stick with me. Where I am, I work in an animal hospital. So I got sick animals all around. All the time. And I also wonder what God may want to do, because I know I go back to one of the greatest revivals actually in South Africa. It started in South Africa in Jonestown, the turn of the century. I think it was around 1907 or something like that, where a man had gone and was holding revivals, and nobody was coming. Nobody was coming. They really didn't. He had a few people would trickle in. And he was completely ready to give up hope. And he believed in a God of miracles. And he was. But he was just about ready to stop. I think he maybe was going to stop that night if no one came. And so he was sitting in the town, and all of a sudden a horse came through, came around a corner. It might have been muddy or something, and this horse slipped and broke its leg. Right there on the corner. And everyone's going, oh my gosh, we're going to have to kill the horse. And this guy, he felt the Lord say, go pray for the horse. And he was obedient. He went up, he laid hands, I don't know, he must have laid hands on the horse. And guess what happened? God healed the leg. Supernaturally healed a horse's leg. The horse popped up. Do you think he had some people at his meeting that night? And again, you can trace the spread, and if you know, in southern Africa is largely Christian. There's a good portion of that can be traced to the beginnings of that revival. That revival, because a horse was healed.
Right.
God can do amazing things if we're willing to just say yes and believe the voice of truth. The problem is we listen to the voice of intimidation and we listen to the voice of fear, and it keeps us from doing what we know we should. We play a tape or we stick our iPod in. We stick the little earplugs in and we listen to a voice that says, oh, you can't do it. Oh, they're going to laugh at you. Oh, you've tried before and you failed. Oh, you just know that's for the Pastor Kevins to do. I know he wouldn't say that, but those are the things we listen to in our minds. And that's not the tape. That's not the MP3 we need to have going on. We need to play the voice of truth. And what does it say? I'm just going to give you a quick smattering. In Mark 9:23, here's what the voice of truth says. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All. Put in whatever giant you're facing. Put in whatever thing you're trying to walk on water to. All things are possible. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know why Scripture is so important? Because if you will just say these and repeat them and literally get them memorized into your head and you draw them up, something happens, because these words are alive. They are truth, and they will reverberate in your soul and in your spirit and transform you, because they never change. They are truth. As Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. He is always with you. And if He's always with you, my gosh, if we can just get that through our heads, if He's always with me, then what is it that I have to fear? I don't have anything to fear. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. every one of them. What do you need? You've been blessed with it. It's been done. It's accomplished. We may not feel it. We may not sense it, but it's done. We need to reckon on it. Step out. Many times he's just waiting for us to step out of that boat. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. They will. We may not understand it completely, but what you're going through is going to work together for good. And 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors for the King of Kings. We represent Him here on this planet as His ambassadors. See, when I listened to that voice, I began to understand the truth about who I am and who He is in me. When I worked as a campus representative on the Washington State University campus, it's been all the way through and to present day. I want to be a light. I want to be salt. I want to be an example of Jesus. But when I listen to that wrong voice, I think, what are they going to think about me? What are they going to think about me if I'm talking to them about this stuff? They might think I'm a fool. They may think I'm just, you know, old-fashioned and ignorant and dumb. What are they going to think about me? And so, you know, I kind of, it was really challenging, especially when I was a campus rep, because we would be following up on people and we'd knock on their doors. And so when I was listening to the wrong voice, it would just kind of be, and they'd say, yeah, they'd open the door. I said, hi, thanks for coming to see you. Really? Anything? And they'd go, what? And nothing would really happen. And still, at times, I know at work I'm faced with challenges. We're kind of, if I said something, they just, do you know what then? What happened is I began to understand something as I listened to the right voice. You know what all I am? I'm just a vessel. I'm just the shell that, since I accepted what this incredible gift of salvation offered me by Jesus, and He came in and transformed me, He said He now is living in me. The person of the Holy Spirit is living in me. I am simply a vessel. I'm an ambassador. I represent God. It's Him. I go, no, you know what? I can do that. It's not about me anyways. I'm just going to be a vessel. I'm going to represent the country I'm representing. The king of that country. Here, I got something to tell you. Can I share with you some incredible news? You know what? Even if they didn't accept it and they rejected, it wasn't me they were rejecting.
Right.
It still isn't. It's not about me. It had nothing to do with me. He's just saying, are you willing? And I pray God continue to give me the strength to be able to say yes more often. Because I still do listen to that wrong voice sometimes. Now there's wisdom and there's understanding, and I don't walk into the workplace on Monday morning with my Bible and say, thou art going to hell! Unless God tells me to. That'd be kind of fun, actually. That's the kind of response I get. Get a little pink slip, but you know. It was God you're firing. No. But so much of the time, we let us get in the way of God. We get in the way of what He wants to do simply because we listen to that wrong voice. And that's why the voice of truth is who we need to listen to. And so the question that I have to ask myself daily, and I challenge also you to, is whose voice do we listen to? Whose voice do we listen to? The voice of timidity? The voice of intimidation, or the voice of truth?